2010, the deep state had the Rockefeller Foundation script a plan to introduce martial law and a permanent method for total control of the citizenry. In this plan that they disguised as an academic scenario, as they called it, the method they would use to gain complete prison-like control of the entire population was to infect them with a devastating biological pandemic, and then, under the guise of protecting us from this threat, they would be free to implement their final solution, a prison state. The prison state that they need to keep their grip on power. As usual, the fascists disguise their crimes as helping us, and as is typical of this new type of fascism, they always make the claim that we the people are begging them to have more and more control over us. As you watch this video, remember that the deep state concocted this scheme in 2010 as a quote-unquote simulation of what is to come. The following is proof that the deep state is behind these viral pandemics. Absolutely, positively, pandemics are now the tool of choice for the fascists, known as the deep state, and the private contractors that they contract these pandemics out to. For the deep state, to make an international pandemic isn't even a high-tech operation, it's a no-tech operation. It's easy. A simple vial of Ebola, SARS, MERS, Spanish flu, or coronavirus, or whatever they come up with in their secret bioweapons lab, is all they need to bring the world into their total control. The only thing you have to remember is if they can do it, they will do it, which means they already have done it.
The ruling establishment has a lot of... They will stop at nothing to complete their toolkit of control, right? So one of the things that has been missing from the toolkit of total control has been quarantines and curfews, right? Mm-hmm. So now, welcome to the new world in America, where to get on a bus, to go through a subway station, if you think that the procedures at the TSA are onerous, right? Guess this is coming to a bus depot near you. It's a more invasive way, and the ruling class needs this because, let me say, if the ruling class ever saw wide-scale civil unrest, you'd see an Ebola outbreak in America right away.
Okay, so this is, what you see is that Ebola is...
another tool in the toolbox of the ruling
of
class
repression
to control.
Yeah, to keep down.
Absolutely,
repression.
Positively, 100%. This is a tool.
Right.
Ebola doesn't just magically start spreading. Mm-hmm. And then we have these doctors that come back here. The white people, of course, live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two whites who got it survived. All the black people that get it die. Right? It's very possible that one of these NGOs over there is going around with a veil of Ebola or spreading it from a small plane onto villages. The point is to get hundreds of thousands of people infected with it and create the next phase of control. Now, one of the things I'd like to show to back up my claims here. Here's a document from the Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller Foundation right there. You can zoom in on that where my finger is. It's called Scenarios for the Future International Development, the Rockefeller Foundation. All right? Okay, let's take a look at what they're saying here. This is something like a 50, 60-page document. I'd like you to go to page 18, if you can look at this up on the internet, but I'll read it off to you. It's called lockstep. And this is a phrase that I used right after 2001 when I saw the entire system of the United States, including the population, were in lockstep. So the Congress went along, and yes, it was Osama bin Laden, and the people waved their flag and said, I hate, and everything was in lockstep. Well, in 2010, they published this, Rockefeller Foundation, and here's what they're saying. They're saying that they call it a scenario. These are scenario narratives, and they speak about it in the past tense. So they put out this scenario, lockstep. A world of tighter, top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Okay, I'll read a little bit of it. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years, nobody was anticipating a pandemic, finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese. They use some scenario, but this is Ebola they're talking about.
Ahead.
Even the most pandemic prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies. You can see the agenda, just naked, raw, naked control agenda written down, and it's anybody's guess how this becomes effectuated in real life. So whether this is written specifically as marching orders or whether people take it upon themselves in the intelligence networks to say, okay, well, this has been produced, so this is the plan here. But these narratives have to be written in advance because the intelligence agencies don't know how to do this, these narratives. They need help. So these think tanks, they come up with these, like Rand Corporation, Rockefeller Foundation, these are think tanks of death. They're not there to find great ways to help people. Right? Okay, the pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, right? Which is what they want. They want a completely isolated world, right? Debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Well, of course they want tourism stopped because they're not in the tourism business, and they want you at home in your house in front of the TV. Then they got you, because once you watch the TV, they own your soul. Even locally,
wait a second, we're on television.
I mean commercial television, let's say national. Yeah. Even locally, normally bustling shops and offices sat empty for months. Okay, so I love how they talk about it in the past tense, in 2010. The pandemic blanketed the planet, though disproportionate numbers in Africa died. Southeast Asia and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire.
It sounds like the opening monologue of a disaster movie, right?
Exactly. Now listen, here's the good stuff now. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. Now here's this one. I love this one. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging, in quotation marks, strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency. So they should have been tougher, right? Accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the United States, but across borders. However, a few countries did fare better. China, in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of virus far earlier than in other countries. So the message is here is we have to look towards the Chinese, the oppressive totalitarian Chinese regime, as an example of what we need to be doing here. And of course, the ruling class here loves the Chinese regime because they have demonstrated to the ruling class the most efficient form of capitalism, which is authoritarian capitalism. So we have capitalism, but unfortunately we have this veil.
I get it.
We have this veil of democracy.
This is very interesting. This is continue on. Please.
Okay. China's government was not the only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their muscles, flexed their authority, and imposed airtight rules and restrictions. You can see the agenda.
Hey, no, go.
Okay. From the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like...
That's what's happening right
trained,
now.
Yeah, but soon it's going to be like body, you know...
It'll be at the subway?
Yeah. Well,
is that what you're saying? We'll be going through this in the subway to get on buses and the subway?
Absolutely.
Things
positively.
Like that?
And what this means, though, is, you know, don't think about having a cigarette, a joint on you, or, you know, I mean, basically, you can't... This is a dragnet for everything. So if in order for you...
Oh, in other words, just like with stop and frisk, this is ultimate stop and frisk.
This is cavity search kind of thing. All right, so during the pandemic, national leaders around the world flex their authority. You know, now, there's some good stuff. Listen to this. And even supermarkets, they want body checks at supermarkets, okay? So basically, what they're saying is they're building a system where every move you make,
you've got to
go through them.
You can't get food. What happens if you go to the farmer's market?
Right. Here's the good stuff now. I mean, it just keeps getting better. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck. And even intensified. That's the whole point. So they're going to get rid of...
Didn't that happen already with 9/11?
Of course.
9/11 was how many, 14 years ago? And we still have all these draconian rules.
So they're going to put the body cavity searches
in. USA Patriot and all
that. That's right. So in order to get to a supermarket, you got to have a body cavity search. And then when there's no more Ebola, well, you know what? We kind of like this way because we have an complete infrastructure of a control grid. Like, in order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and national terrorism to environmental crisis and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. Well, what the hell would rising poverty have anything to do with imposing strict citizen controls with face masks? Right? So they're very sloppy stuff here. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. I'm sorry. Nobody likes this stuff. They're just saying it. I have to provide analysis.
Only because we only have 5 minutes left, so that's
Oh, my God. Okay. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. I mean, that's just a complete naked contradiction to the famous saying that if you think you're going to give up a little bit of security, I mean, if you're going to give up your freedom for security, you're going to get neither. That's the long standing thing. And here what they're doing is they're not even ashamed or embarrassed to absolutely say the exact opposite. They're saying, yes, we all want to give up our privacy and sovereignty for more stability and security and stability. So you don't get that. When you give it up like that, you get the shaft.
Can you show us the cover again of what you were just reading?
One more time, and then I have two more documents.
Right, this is what we were reading here, and just zoom in a little bit so folks can see it. He'll zoom in. Don't worry, you can relax.
Okay.
And scenarios for the future of technology and international development.
Okay. Now I have two more documents. Keep it zoomed. We have the National Security Memorandum of December 10th, 1974. This is Henry Kissinger's brainchild. The National Security Memorandum number 200. You can look that up on your internet. I'll summarize it. He says that there's too many people. We got to get rid of the population. So to answer your question, he says he used the word depopulation, which is different. Depopulation means killing people that already exist, and it's to get the minerals because we need the minerals. And here's another one. The CDC has a patent on Ebola. They patented it.
Yeah? Oh, really?
So basically, if you want to get a cure for your Ebola.
It says it right up here, right? It says human Ebola virus species and compositions and methods thereof, and it's a patent.
It's a patent. They patented the main strain plus something like 17 other strains of it. So they own it now, and I don't know how exactly you can own that, but apparently they've done the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't think you could own a natural.
Yeah, you can. I guess the main thing to finish off this show is this, they want to get more control, and it's going to be curfews and quarantines. So what I'm saying is that unless the American people start to get some new way to revolt, a new way to organize, new way to protest, unless we can break through the apathy, because that's what we have here, then it's going to be a slave state here. The ruling class doesn't seem to have too much resistance. They're getting everything on their Christmas shopping list. And they've been wanting quarantines and curfews for a long time. Now they got it. And if you want to live in a world where you're tricked into all this stuff because it's for your safety, right? And if you want to have a probe and make sure you got to check your pockets, make sure you don't have anything incriminating on you before you go out, and when you step out of your house, you want some police there to monitor and see what you're doing. If that's the world you want to live in, be apathetic. Don't do anything. You're going to get that world very soon. It's coming your way, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what should people do? What's the hope? You have 30 seconds.
To wake up, learn about it, and go fight these bastards in Washington. They're easy to beat. If we can just organize, we can beat them. It's simple. They're weak, and there's so few of them.